Redemption 220 miles. Duncan McGregor sat on the idling Harley and stared at the road sign. If only redemption were that easy to find in reality. The sight of his next destination's name, should this one not work out, left his gut tight, because the name the small Georgia town bore was a smack in his face, one heavy-fisted with the guilt he'd carry for the rest of his life. He gunned the 1948 Panhead and swallowed the lump in his throat, wishing for the millionth time he could turn back the clock. Owen Redd was dead. It was the only explanation for his disappearance. Duncan had spent the last week attempting to track Owen's cell phone, his credit cards, and computer, but all were dead ends. His best friend and vice president had seemingly fallen off the face of the earth. In their line of work as security experts, bodyguards, drivers, personal security trainers, high-level corporate protection services providing a wide range of skills, enemies were easy to make. Especially when protecting the other person meant becoming the target yourself. Had Owen run into someone from the past? Duncan gunned the Harley again, the tires spitting loose gravel as he made his way back onto the highway, past the exit sign leading to Redemption. He continued traveling, making his way to what had once been Owen's temporary boyhood home. If Owen was holed up anywhere and laying low, injured, or unable to communicate, it had to be at the farm Owen claimed as his saving grace during his rebellious teen years. But if Owen wasn't here? Duncan followed the twisting Blue Ridge Mountain roadway until he saw the mile marker Owen had once described. After 6 more miles, Duncan spotted the house-sized forked boulder off to the left of the road. Getting close, he slowed and turned his attention to the right, seeing the narrow opening of a once-gated entrance. Crossroads, a home for boys. The gate was long gone, but large trees had been downed across the road to deter trespassers. It took some doing, but he managed to maneuver around the logs to the other side of the driveway. He wanted to rush but couldn't given the road condition, and wound up playing dodge-em with the mass of ruts and mud holes marking the distance. Finally, Duncan rolled up near the paint-chipped porch steps of the large Edwardian-style farmhouse and cut the motor, silently issuing a final prayer. "Freeze," a low voice called. Duncan slowly lifted his hands to remove the old-school black helmet, his gaze scanning the porch, house, and windows for a sign of the person. "I'm not here for trouble. Just looking for a friend." "You're trespassing on private property. Leave or I'll shoot." "Female." The voice was female, edged with fear, and her words were followed by the distinct sound of a shotgun being set to fire. Duncan's gut knotted. Fear plus gun equaled unpredictable. He carefully placed the helmet aside and lifted his hands back into the air. "Like I said, I'm looking for a friend by the name of Owen Redd. Thought I might find him here." Silence followed his words. The wind rustled through the trees, rattling the dried fall leaves like a skeleton's bones. "Who are you?" Ah, now they were getting somewhere. "I like to see who I'm talking to. And I like to target practice," the woman said in return. He almost smiled at her snarky rebuttal, but wasn't sure just yet that she wouldn't practice her shooting skills on him. "My name's Duncan McGregor." "Owen's boss?" The woman's tone reflected her surprise. Movement caught his attention, and he turned his head and watched as the woman stepped out from behind a shed near the rear of the house. He almost swallowed his tongue. The beautiful stranger wore a long-sleeved white button-down rolled at the cuffs and cut-off denim shorts with ragged threads that drew attention to the tanned flesh of her long legs. Her brown hair had a markedly reddish cast to it and was pulled back in a simple ponytail, and her mouth curved down in a ferocious frown. She was dark-complected for a sun-kissed redhead, a trait he attributed to the massive amount of freckles covering every inch of bare skin he could lay eyes on, even from the distance separating them. Still, with the gun in her hands, she looked like the perfect cover model for the NRA. "Yeah, I'm Owen's boss. Who are you?" She didn't lower the gun. Duncan nodded his head toward the weapon. "You mind pointing that somewhere else?" It took her several seconds to decide, but in the end, She lowered the shotgun enough to give him some breathing room. "You've come to see Owen?" she asked. "Does that mean you've talked to him?" The knot in his gut tightened even more at her words, and the worried expression pinching her eyebrows together. "No," he said simply. "But Owen told me once that if he were ever in trouble and I couldn't find him, I might try this place." The woman wet her lips and blinked, and he wondered if she fought off tears. "So he hasn't checked in with you or me, which means—" Duncan swung his leg over the Harley and stood, aware that her words trailed off with a low hitch of her breath. "It means he isn't able to check in," he told her, surprising himself by taking a positive stance on Owen's disappearance instead of the negative one that had plagued his mind for the last week. Every day that passed meant a colder trail to follow. Not that Duncan had any lead since Owen had taken a few weeks off before he'd gone off the grid. Not knowing who Owen's friend was, Duncan couldn't come right out and say what was on his mind. Not to a total stranger. It was a long ride from Atlanta. Something to drink would be much appreciated. He didn't move closer, not wanting to scare her, and have her swinging that shotgun up in defense. "Let's see some ID." Duncan dug his license out of his wallet, along with a business card, slowly walking them to where she stood. He also added a picture his sister-in-law, Emma, had taken at a recent barbecue of him and his brother, Ian, along with Owen, Nathan Quinn, and Emma's stepbrother, Zach, mainly because he'd stuck it into his wallet for safekeeping at the time because he hadn't known quite what to do with it. The woman snatched the items from the tree stump where he left them and backed up a few steps while she looked them over. He stood still, keeping a close eye on the barrel of her gun. "You got a name?" "Bethany," she said. Her name seemed familiar, but Duncan couldn't place her. "Nice to meet you, Bethany. When did you last see Owen?" "A week ago when he brought me here." Bethany returned the items to him, lowering the gun to rest at her side with comfortable ease. The gun was old, probably something Owen kept on hand in the house for visitors who came calling in the middle of the night. But that didn't explain who she was or why she had it. Who was she to Owen? Friend or lover? Because if she was the latter, Tasha, Owen's girlfriend back in Stone River, was bound to find out. "Mind if I ask what you're doing here?" He tucked the items back into the leather. "Are you and Owen?" He let his words trail off suggestively and nearly laughed aloud when an expression of horror crossed her face. "Yuck," she said instantly. "He's my brother." Her brother. For reasons Duncan refused to consider, relief poured through him. "Ah, I remember now." And he did. Owen referred to his sister as Monkey or Monkey Wrench, rarely Beth. But now that Duncan had moved closer to her and knew the genetic link, he spotted visual likenesses between the woman and his good friend. Namely the abundance of freckles and the slight dimple in the middle of her chin. "What about you? When did you talk to Owen last?" "About 3 weeks ago," Duncan told her, not disclosing the details of Owen's last voicemail because of the way she'd worded her question. "Owen called to tell me he was taking time off." "For me," she said with a nod. "Owen came to Redemption to stay with me after my ex-boyfriend's death. You know, to attend the memorial and make sure I was okay. While Owen was there, someone broke into my apartment." "Any idea who?" Duncan asked, his mind zeroing in on that bit of information. "No. I thought it was random. Redemption is a small town, and everyone knew I'd be at the service. But Owen." He insisted there was something strange about it, and that he was going to look into Charlie's death. "A few days later, Owen told me he'd decided to hang around a while longer." Duncan's suspicions grew as well as his dread. "He didn't say why?" "No." Her tone revealed her irritation. "He asked me to come with him to visit this place, because he hadn't been here for a while. 2 or 3 days at most," she stressed, making a face. "It wasn't until after we got here that I realized he'd planned to leave me behind while he did his thing. He said he'd come back to get me. Only, he hasn't come back." Exactly the news Duncan didn't want to hear. What happened to your ex that Owen found strange? It's complicated. She lifted and lowered one shoulder in a shrug. Charlie left town about 8 weeks ago. He said he wanted space and a new start. So he moved to Virginia Beach, but a couple of weeks after that, the Coast Guard found Charlie's rental floating at sea, with a suicide note at the helm. Duncan stared down at Bethany Red, hating the question he had to ask. Was Charlie the type to do something like that?
I don't know. I would say no, but before he left.
Charlie started acting really weird. Not at all like himself.
Did Charlie ever do drugs?
No. Charlie wasn't that kind of guy. But Owen said he was going to dig into Charlie's background, just to be safe.
That would have been his first move, too.
Something definitely wasn't adding up. But it also meant Owen had not only had suspicions about his sister's ex, but he'd found something, prompting Owen's call for help. A call Duncan had ignored, due to a business matter requiring his attention at the time, and returned too late. Duncan turned away from Bethany, sick to his stomach because he'd let his friend down in the worst possible way. Worry ate at him and angered him.
Duncan?
The guilt over not answering Owen's call threatened to smother Duncan.
Yeah?
Something's wrong, isn't it?
Really wrong.
That's why you're here, looking for Owen.
Isn't it?
Bethany clasped the gun and squeezed until her fingers went numb, her chest so tight it was hard to breathe. She'd never talked so much to a total stranger before, but Owen had spoken highly of Duncan McGregor, and after a full week alone at the farm with nothing but her own thoughts, the words burst out of her.
Something's happened to Owen.
That's why you're here. The panic she'd fought off for days on end threatened to overwhelm her.
Don't just stand there, say something.
Let's not jump to conclusions, Duncan said carefully.
Too carefully.
But how could she not assume the worst? Especially now that he'd shown up in search of Owen.
What had Duncan said when he'd first arrived?
Owen told me once that if he were ever in trouble and I couldn't find him, I might try this place. The man had traveled from Atlanta, hoping Owen would be at the farm he'd purchased 3 years ago from the now-defunct organization he claimed had saved his life as a teen. Duncan McGregor's appearance confirmed her worst fears, and for a moment she saw black spots in front of her eyes.
Don't shoot him.
He may be your only way out of here, she mused.
Maybe you should sit down.
No. No, I'm fine. Questions blasted through her brain, and whirling spots threatened to take her to her knees. Owen had said Duncan McGregor was fast becoming the name in corporate and international security, and without a doubt, the man had an air of danger about him, low-key though he tried to appear.
Bethany, you're safe with me.
But I think we should go inside.
I don't think we should stay in the open.
Stay in the, oh. She'd admit to giving in to a few freaked-out fantasies at night when it was dark, but during the day she'd kept calm. At least until now.
Was someone watching her?
Had they been all week?
What was going on?
She gripped the gun in her sweaty palm and slowly led the way toward the back door of the house, acutely aware of Duncan McGregor as he grabbed a backpack from the bike and matched his stride to hers. He wore jeans and comfortable-looking black boots, a faded and worn leather jacket that hugged his broad shoulders over a black t-shirt with no visible design. Duncan had a bit of helmet hair, but short as it was, the imprint in the strands was barely noticeable. Dark sunglasses shielded his eyes from view, giving him more than a dash of bad boy. An image the black bandana around his neck did nothing to discourage. Duncan wasn't as tall as Owen, but her brother's friend was thicker, broader, and more heavily muscled. Well able to stop her from doing pretty much anything if he so chose.
Owen told me a little about this farm, he said as they approached the steps.
Looks like a nice place. Having been there a week, she wasn't quite as appreciative.
I suppose.
Although, at first, Owen didn't like it any better than I do at the moment.
She topped the steps and opened the screen door to the sleeping porch, then the door into the kitchen. "Probably not, considering the judge ordered stay," Duncan murmured, looking around with notable interest. The old house had seen better days. She tried to picture it through Duncan's eyes, through Owen's eyes, for that matter, and guessed her brother's attachment to the place had more to do with sentiment than structural appeal. The house smelled musty, all the walls faded a dull gray, the wide plank floors scuffed and scarred from too many years of neglect. She'd been at Crossroads several times in the past to visit Owen post-mission or assignment when he'd needed some peaceful downtime, but the last week on the farm alone had left her jumpy and ill at ease. All sorts of sounds emerged from the woods, but per Owen's orders, she'd grown used to keeping their grandfather's old shotgun within reach. "Water or iced tea?" she asked, waving a hand for Duncan to have a seat at the kitchen table. "Water is fine, thanks." She set the shotgun on the counter and withdrew the pitcher from the refrigerator. She poured two glasses, carrying one to the table where he could fetch it himself while keeping the wide piece of furniture between them. Still, she got her first up-close and personal look at him, and nearly missed the surface entirely. Duncan had removed his sunglasses and was in the process of shrugging out of the leather jacket, draping it over the back of a chair. Muscles bulged in his arms, the sleeves straining at the hems. But it was his eyes that drew her attention the most. They were amazing. A dark yet bright blue with tiny navy rims around the pupils. The bump in his nose indicated it had been broken, maybe more than once, and several days' worth of stubble darkened his cheeks and jaw. Tall and imposing, Duncan commanded the space around him. So much so, she doubted whether he'd ever entered a room and not had every woman in it take notice. "Here. Sit down. I've been riding a while. I'd prefer to stand. If it doesn't make you uncomfortable." She nonchalantly retraced her steps to the counter where she'd left the gun and leaned her hips against the edge. "Not at all." Despite Duncan's show of identification and the photo taken with her brother at some testosterone gathering, she wasn't sure whom to trust given the circumstances. Not that she had much of a choice at the moment. She had to take Duncan's interest and help in finding Owen at face value and pray for the best. Hard to do when Owen's note made it clear he thought Charlie had been involved in something dangerous. "Start at the beginning," Duncan ordered with a tilt of his head. "What was Owen looking for in redemption?" "I'm not sure." "Then tell me why he was looking for something," Duncan stressed. She sipped from her glass and pondered the question, unsure of how to answer. "I don't know. I'm serious," she said when Duncan's gaze narrowed a bit in what she took to be skepticism. "Do you have a big brother?" Owen kept his thoughts to himself, but I think it had something to do with the break-in. He was upset that it had happened, and wanted to find out who was responsible. "Why did things end between you and the boyfriend?" Duncan asked next. She felt like she was being interrogated, but the questions Duncan asked were the same ones Owen had demanded she answer. "It's complicated, like I told you. But it boiled down to the fact we were too different. Charlie practically had a computer attached to him 24/7, while I am way more comfortable under a car that doesn't have a computer chip anywhere in it." "You're a mechanic," Duncan murmured, as though he'd just remembered. "Yes. I restore classic cars at Red Hot Restorations." "So they broke into your apartment?" "Yeah. Long story short, Owen and I came home from the memorial service, discovered the break-in, but the police said there wasn't really anything to be done but paperwork. Because, as far as I could tell, nothing was taken. Not that I have much thieves want." Duncan looked perplexed. "Let's just say I'm what Charlie and Owen call a technophobe. The contents of my garage are worth a lot more than what's in my apartment." "They broke into your garage too?" "No." Owen thought that was strange, especially since I live above it. But like I told him, the garage was better secured. After it happened, though, Owen changed the locks on the apartment door and insisted on me spending a few days here, and I agreed. Then he left. But when I do see him again, he's going to get a piece of my mind. That was if she ever saw him again. She couldn't say it aloud, and she didn't want to, but deep down that was her worst nightmare. She couldn't bear it if her brother got hurt because of her. She set the glass aside and tucked her thumbs into her front pockets, aware of the way Duncan's gaze followed the movement and lingered briefly on her legs before he pointedly looked away. At 25, and being female in a male-dominated profession, she really ought to be used to guys looking at her as though she were everything from their kid sister to Red Hot's very own pinup girl. But when Duncan did it, Bethany watched as Duncan turned away from her and paced to the dining room window to peer outside, careful to keep the lace curtain from moving. She'd seen Owen perform the same move too many times to count over the years. No matter where he was, Owen was always watchful, aware of his surroundings. The last fading rays of the day coated the mountain peaks before giving way to the darkness. It happened quickly, light, then the purple gray of evening. There was nothing like night in the country. No streetlights, no bright signs. Just a blanket of sparkling black. "Why not call someone from Redemption to come get you?" Duncan asked. "Your parents or a friend?" "Our parents are away on a much-needed vacation I will not disrupt, and I couldn't call anyone even if I wanted to. This place doesn't have a phone." "You don't have a cell?" "Not even for emergencies?" he asked, surprise etched across his handsome face. "I do, but it's dead. And yes, I realize the irony. I also thought about walking to the closest gas station or restaurant, but since Owen was so adamant about staying here because of the potential for danger, I decided not to be one of those too stupid to live idiots like they show in the movies and stayed put. But know this, I'm going with you," she said, picking up the shotgun. "Don't even think about leaving me behind."